When you think of comic books, what usually comes to mind? You think, well, comics brought us Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman. These are your standards. Just about everyone in the world knows these comic book superheroes. They save the world. They feed the youth morals and how to be a goody two-shoe. They were the characters that the townspeople within the stories, as well as the teens reading the pages, all looked up to. You see, when you think of comics, you think of colorful, over-the-top images of the bad guys getting their butts kicked. What you don't think about when the thought of comics comes around is the grotesque comic illustration of a woman's head being plunged underwater, her eyes bulging with fear as a pair of hands are squeezing her throat. When you think of comics, you don't think of covers with a man holding a bloody axe in one hand and the head of his wife in the other as her body lies in the background. You don't think of ghosts, ghouls, werewolves, or zombies. Let's be honest, you don't think of comics and horror in the same train of thought. In the 1940s through to the mid-1950s, entertaining comics, or better known as EC Comics, changed the way comics were looked at forever. They released a comic series titled The Vault of Horror and Crime Suspense Stories, among others. This was comics as the world had never seen them before. They struck fear into people. The genre of horror was easily available to the youth now, but let's just say these comics weren't teaching morals. Drawing from famous literary works, EC Comics created stories within their comics that had America clutching her pearls, demanding these printed horrors be banned. So, let's dive into that. Welcome to Audibly Haunted. I'm your host, Ani Kachadorian. In the spring of 1948, a new comic hit the newsstands right next to the Action Comics, who 10 years before featured Superman for the first time, or right next to Captain America. It was a new series released by EC Comics titled War Against Crime. You can say this was the first version of true crime documentaries. These claim to have real stories from police records. In fact, issues would say it right on the cover. These comics began to catch people's attention, as there wasn't really much out there at the time like these comics. Issues 1 through 11 featured the raw realities of crime and punishment. Then, one day, something changed. In April of 1950, a new comic stood in the place of where War Against Crime usually did. Though it had the same font and stylings as War Against Crime, this new comic was titled The Vault of Horror. EC Comics wanted to branch and create a new line of horror-based comics, but didn't quite have the money. So to save on second-class postage permits to create a full new comic, EC Comics simply changed the title. But they didn't change the issue number. So the first issue of The Vault of Horror technically started at issue 12. This was the launching board for the crime suspense stories that was a mixture of horror and true crime, the Crypt of Terror series, and Tales from the Crypt, which inspired the popular seven-season 80s show. These began later known as Pre-Code Comics. These comics featured horror fiction, crime fiction, science fiction, and dark fantasy. With each issue that hit newsstands, they grew more and more attention, and not in the best way. There were a few covers that had the public calling for regulation. You have Crime Suspense Stories issue number 19, which featured the woman being choked with her head under the water, or possibly the most sought-out issue, Crime Suspense Stories issue number 22, which featured a man holding a bloody axe and the severed head of his wife with her eyes rolled back into her head. A battle began with comic publications joining forces to combat the media and the critics. You began to have doctors writing books and journalists writing articles titled Seduction of the Innocent, Horror in the Nursery, and the Psychopathology of Comic Books. This drove the public to believe these comics were corrupting the youth and leaving harmful effects on children. Because of this, the Comic Magazine Association of America and the Comics Code Authority, or the CCA, were created. They forced comics like the ones being published by EC Comics to become censored. They were no longer free to create the horror stories they had previously done. This meant, before being published, the CCA had to give their green light. And for the Vault of Horror, that was going to be a hard one. The founders of EC Comics waged a war with the CCA, creating issues that now combated racism and bigotry, which made the judges on the committee twist and turn in their seats. The last straw was a story titled Judgment Day, within a series alongside Tales of the Crypt and the Vault of Horror titled Weird Science. The story revolved around an astronaut from the Galactic Republic who was sent to a planet, and he discovers that the inhabitants are robots divided into identical orange and blue groups. When the astronaut sees that there is a form of racism amongst the two colored robots, he says the planet should not be admitted into the Galactic Republic until those problems are solved. In the end, the astronaut removes his helmet to reveal that he is an African-American man. The story is a jab at the racism within the country at the time. At seeing this, the judge for the committee stated the story cannot be published until, and I quote, the black astronaut had to be removed. This led the founder of EC Comics to calling up the CCA and verbally flipping them the bird. In the end, EC Comics' national distributor went belly up, and they dropped all titles except one, Mad. Mad Comics, or Mad Magazine, became their most popular publication to date. Every story needs a good storyteller, right? Well, within the Vault of Horror, each issue featured three storytellers. You had the Vault Keeper, the Crypt Keeper, and the Old Witch. The trio were called the Ghoul Lunatics, and they would pick at each other within the issues. The main ghost host, or ghoul host, was the Vault Keeper for the Vault of Horror series, being featured as an ancient inquisitor who was hooded and robed. In the early issues, he was made to be frightening, but as the series went on, his character changed to deliver little pun-filled commentary to bring a light-hearted tone to the horror stories he would introduce. But you see, the stories that the Vault Keeper introduced carried much more literary weight. People of the time feared that the comics were causing children to become, quote, corrupted delinquents. But in reality, these stories all had roots within classic gothic and horror literature. Published in the Pall Mall Gazette in December of 1884, a strange little story appeared titled The Body Snatcher. It was a short story written by Scottish author Robert Louis Stevenson. It sat in the realm of gothic and supernatural horror. It follows the story of a group of friends sitting, having a few drinks, when a strange doctor enters the bar. One of the men, named Fitz, recognizes the doctor, Wolf McFarlane, as a man he had gone to medical school with. He tells his friend to steer clear of this man, but they don't understand why, not until Fitz tells him his story. He tells that while at medical school, they worked together taking receipts of cadaver bodies and giving payment to the shifty dudes who would deliver. One night, Fitz IDs a woman he knows and suspects she was murdered. McFarlane talks him out of reporting it so they don't get in trouble for the crime. A few nights later, Fitz and McFarlane are at a bar where a man named Gray is rude to McFarlane. The following night, Fitz is shocked when he finds the body McFarlane has brought to be dissected is that of the man named Gray from the night before. McFarlane once again convinces Fitz to keep quiet about the murder, and they dissect the body to destroy the evidence. They continue their work when their professor sends them to collect a body of a woman who was freshly buried. The men leave, collect the body, and on their way back grow nervous. They stop to see the body, and both are shocked to find that the body is not that of a woman, but it is the body of the man named Gray come back to haunt them. This story is a classic, and the Vault of Horror takes a page from Robert Louis Stevenson when crafting their story titled Doctor of Horror with an issue number 13. The story goes something like this. At the Hampshire Surgeon School, Professor Lamont was called into the dean's office and told that the attendance in his classes was falling off. And if he was to remain as a teacher there, he must get more students to enroll. He went out and dug up cadavers to use for his anatomy classes, and enrollment suddenly blossomed. It drew the attention of the dean, who told Lamont that he was being promoted to governor of the entire medical school, and that Lamont was in competition with another teacher to fill the position of dean. When his competition comes to see him, Lamont decides to murder him to get the job, which he does. He is told that if the royal surgeon determines that the school has progressed enough under Dean Lamont, he will get that promotion. So Lamont hires a man to go out and kill people along the waterfront area and bring their cadavers to the school to impress the royal surgeon. Unfortunately, the men make a terrible error, and Lamont's body ends up as one presented among the other corpses. The connections between the two stories here are also clear. You have the corrupt doctors who are willing to cover up murder and even commit the murder themselves. You have the need for body snatching and killing for medical school cadavers. And in the end, you have the haunting ways of karma that came back for those who were most wicked in each story. When we think of Oscar Wilde, we don't really think of Gothic literature. Unless, of course, you think of one of his most famous and really only novel, The Picture of Dorian Gray. This novel was deemed one of the first horror genre novels. The story revolves around a beautifully handsome young man by the name of Dorian Gray and the portrait painted of him by his friend Basil Hallward, who is infatuated with Dorian's beauty. Seeing the portrait, Dorian becomes overcome with dread as he knows his beauty will fade, but the portrait version of him will remain beautiful. Dorian expresses the desire to sell his soul to ensure that the picture rather than the man will age and fade. The wish is granted, and Dorian pursues a life of varied immoral experiences while staying young and beautiful. All the while, his portrait ages and visually records every one of Dorian's sins. In the end, Dorian picks up a knife to destroy the painting, but the portrait falls. And Dorian's servants find the young and beautiful Dorian in the portrait. And on the floor is Dorian, an old man, horribly wrinkled and disfigured, with a knife plunged in his heart. This story was a game changer for Gothic and horror literature. Side note, The Picture of Dorian Gray is also speculated to be one of the first ever published queer novels, but that's for another day. It is a classic piece of American literature, and in their own way, EC Comic authors bring this classic to their storytelling platform. Featured within issue number 17 comes the story Voodoo Horror. This story goes something like this. On the island of Haiti, George Baker seeks out a certain shop that will make him a voodoo doll bust of himself. The owner obliges George and begins to work on the bust. Later, George has a change of heart and wants to cancel the order, but when he gets there, he finds that the bust is finished and paid for. So reluctantly, George takes the bust and walks out of the shop. Returning home, George places the bust on his fireplace mantle, and as the years go by, it begins to age, but not George, who remains youthful. And George hates to even look at it any longer. Then one day, a girl comes to his door, asking the whereabouts of another person. George directs her down the hall, but secretly, he wants her. Later, he discovers that the girl, Jean, is the daughter of one of his older employees, and he flatly tells the man that he wants to marry his daughter. That evening at dinner, George makes his move, and she complies. But as the years go by, she ages. George, on the other hand, does not. And the horrible bust over the fireplace continues to age. Jean hates it and is ready to get rid of it when George walks in, tells her to leave it alone, slaps her down, and calls her an ugly old hag. While he is out for a walk, Jean gets a machete and severs the bust in two, In that moment, a horrible scream is heard, and a policeman finds the body of George in the park, split down the middle. Back at the Barker home, Jean suddenly notices that the face of the bust now has once again taken the youthful appearance of her husband. Both stories show the negativity of vanity. Dorian Gray and George Baker both craved to remain as they were, young and beautiful. But you see, vanity is the devil's sin. Both men made a deal with the devil to remain young, and in the end, both paid the price with their lives. Comic books were not always filled with superheroes teaching kids how to be good and righteous. You had publishers like EC Comics who came in and ruffled feathers with their out-of-the-box horror. The unfairness of censorship has brought the end to so many literary works, and now comics can be added to that list. Sometimes, you want a little horror on your reading list. But there will always be someone out there to ruin the fun. Comics, yes, are often seen as something for kids or teens. They are not exactly educational. But sometimes, when you look past the bloody front cover, the stories within them are filled with imaginative stories inspired by the same gothic novels and stories we praise today. This has been Audibly Haunted, and I'm your host, Ani Kachadorian. You can find Audibly Haunted wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, you name it. So give it a listen and drop a rating or a review. And tell all your friends. And remember, you can always find Audibly Haunted on Instagram at Audibly Haunted. And if you have a ghost story that you would like to share, I would love to hear it. You can always reach out to me at audiblyhaunted@gmail.com or send me a message on Instagram. I would love to hear from all of you. And I'll see you all next week.